talk.
Okay, I'm sorry we are a little late. Okay. So we were discussing the Mishnah about Rashus. So I want us to move to the next Mishnah. There's always more to say about each topic, but I want to move on. So the next Mishnah is also obviously a very significant one. Every Mishnah is significant. But like the previous Mishnah, it's also one which the ambiguity in terms of the specific topic kind of invites interpretation that is particularly pressing to particular mefarshim. It's a bit also like a tabula rasa of an open book, and therefore while there's kind of a default, I guess, broad, kivun to the words of the Mishnah, because they, they're very unspecific, and because in theory they are also, very, the kind of words that, can be applied to other principles as well, as say, so this became like a magnet, for the particular concerns of individual mafarshim, a phenomenon that we have encountered, recurringly in Avos, one of the most, I think, charming and significant parts of reading Avos is that it, exposes you to the, the particular concerns of particular mafarshim when you have this, open reading. So like I did last time, I just want to start off with just a couple of those before we get to the more mainstream, interpretation. So the Mishnah says, Hu haya omer, asei ritzono kirtzonecha. There are different girsos here, actually. But I'll read the standard one is, asei ritzono kirtzonecha. Kidei sheyaseh ritzoncha kirtzono, batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, so, it doesn't require elaboration, that on the one hand, the default, broad, perspective on the Mishnah is dealing with, something, pretty clear. And this is this idea of, setting aside one's own perspective, propensities, priorities, in face of the opportunity and the obligation to be Oved Hashem. That's the broad, pashtus idea here. I say ritzono, aligning your ratzon, your interest with the Rabbono Shel Olam. And ratzon, is a particularly interesting or intriguing term as well. A person's will, is we're not just being told, to do the right thing or to align your behavior, your conduct. Of course, that too, but it on the surface is even more aspirational, to demand of someone that their ratzon, that their interest, that their will, be aligned. Question is, how much do we mean that? Kedei, the goal being shiyasa ritzon cha kirtzono, and of course, the ritzono, ritzonecha, ritzon cha, ritzono, all of that is a little bit, probably intentionally ambiguous and confusing. As I mentioned, there is another girsa, there are several other girsos actually, but one which also just flips the text. But, while it's, mostly clear that there's some sort of an alignment of ratzon, which is very aspirational going on, whether, it's mostly focused, on actions or really on will, and, how much is a person obligated to surrender? Can a person have his own, independent interests or will or volition, like how far do you, you know, push this aspiration, both realistically and also, again, religiously, aspirationally? Obviously, that is something to examine. You know, in that's what's intriguing about this Mishnah. It can be an interesting vehicle, you know, for examining, you know, the relationship between independent, legitimate independent, you know, interests, and how that aligns with, you know, being an Oved Hashem. But before we get to that, because of the ambiguity, as I say, it's just, you know, always intriguing to see how, you know, people use this who had obviously very particular, you know, interests in mind. So I'm just going to mention three of them, you know, each one separated by, you know, 300 years. The ones that stand out, but also by outstanding Mefarshim, and also just themes that are very interesting. And then we'll go back to the more, if we have time, the more core idea of, you know, personal and, you know, divine will. So the first one I wanted to mention is the Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah often is a, you know, very maverick, you know, in his... Rabbeinu Yonah's Perush HaNavos, as we've discussed, is like, you know, one of the most well-known, one of the most influential, you know, Perushim of all times. And as a vehicle for Rabbeinu Yonah's thought, you know, it's particularly important. They're very striking things in this Perush, as we see all the time. We don't have so many writings of Rabbeinu Yonah, let's say, relative to, you know, what we might have expected and the role and the role he played in the stature that he had. Rabbeinu Yonah was a cousin of the Ramban, as we know. And, you know, where we have, you know, his writings, you know, Shari Tshuva, of course, you know, his parish on Bava Basra, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, at least his base medrash in Masachet Brachos, you know, and so on. You know, so we're fully aware of his, you know, independence as a thinker. I made the point in the past that, you know, if the Ritva, you know, is, you know, a vehicle for, you know, being acquainted with Shitos HaRa'ah, that most people aren't so aware of, even more so than, you know, his being a Talmud of the Rajba, you know, the same could be said. The Rajba was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah and of the Ramban, but at least, you know, if you take Bava Basra as an example, the outsized impact of Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rajba in some cases, you know, eclipses, in other cases rivals, you know, that of the Ramban. So again, I'm just, you know, reflecting for a second on the very importance of, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah as a general, you know, personality. His Perush on Avos and his Perush on Mishle, you know, were of outsized impact. We don't have the Ramban on Mishle, we don't have the Ra'ah on Mishle, we don't have them on Avos. And of course, you know, Mishle and Avos both are, again, these, you know, kind of open, you know, vehicles where, you know, the language itself... And if you ever read Mishle, it's good to read Mishle. You know, it's very hard to read Mishle, you know, and walk away with, you know, something very concrete and tangible without, you know, Mefarshim. That's not true necessarily of other Sifrei Tanakh. The Mefarshim always enhance our understanding, and you know, they provide, you know, the Mesorah perspective on everything, you know, whether it's Tanakh or, you know, or Gemara or whatever, you know, but mostly you can read Sifrei, you know, Tanakh, you know, without them. But as we know, Mishle, you know, is clearly like focuses so much on, you know, on wisdom, and you know, it deals, you know, with very critical, very crucial, you know, questions, but the ambiguity, you know, in terms of like pinning down, you know, what each never mind pasuk, what each half pasuk basically, you know, is really, you know, referring to, the range of how to interpret Mishle is just enormous. Maybe it's another something to do at some point. So therefore, the, you know, the perush of Rabbeinu Yonah on Mishle happens to play an outsized role, as does the Gra on Mishle. And as I say, on you know, in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh, the same is true on Avos. Maybe like if you had to pick the most important perush, you know, on Avos, it probably would be that of Rabbeinu Yonah. And of course, the impact of Rabbeinu Yonah's perush on the tour is something that we've mentioned in the past. The whole introduction to Chol Shebishpat of the tour is based on Rabbeinu Yonah's, you know, interpretation of Ha'olam Omed and Ha'olam Kayam. And the tour has certain parts of the passage that don't appear in our Rabbeinu Yonah. But in general, the tour was enormously influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, in Avos. So again, you know, Avos gives us an opportunity sometimes to reflect on, you know, specific contributions. So Rabbeinu Yonah, when it comes, getting back to this particular Mishnah, Rabbeinu Yonah often, when it comes to Mishnayos, Avos, you know, takes the opportunity to, he has a lot of maverick perushim, but they're all, if you don't buy them, this is what I said about the previous Mishnah, according to some Mefarshim as well, if you don't think that they're pshat in the Mishnah, or, you know, if you don't want to rely on yourself, let's say, based on the consensus, you know, of other Mefarshim, that's not, you know, the typical way that this, that the particular Mishnah has been interpreted, that's usually pretty insignificant, you know, in terms of the importance, in terms of assessing the importance of Rabbeinu Yonah's, you know, perusha. Because at the end of the day, Rabbeinu Yonah is a very, very influential and a very mainstream, you know, figure, thinker. And, you know, the fact that some of his, you know, perushim, let's say, on Avos or Mishle are mechudash in their context is, you know, is curious and interesting, if anything. As I've said before, you know, it just, you know, highlights, you know, how much conviction he brings, you know, to these ideas, that he even sees them, you know, in some texts that others default understand differently. So this is a good example of that. There are many, many examples of it. You know, the interpretation of Rabbeinu Yonah of Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha Kedei She'yaseh Ritzoncha Kirtzono zeroes in on tzedakah and on the economic interest. The pashtos, you know, there's no special connection to, you know, how you, you know, handle your, you know, financial wherewithal in this particular Mishnah, not more than anything else, maybe less than, you know, attitudinal things. But that's how Rabbeinu Yonah interprets this Mishnah, and what emerges from it, of course, is very, is a very important idea, and one which I think was seminal in Hilchos Tzedakah. I'm just going to read to you what he says. He starts off by speaking more broadly. Hu ha'yomer aseh ritzono kirtzonecha, rotzolomar, kasher hu oseh ritzon atzmo, right, b'chefetz u'betava, just as when a person, you know, follows his own agenda, you know, and, you know, his own, you know, interests, right, he does so b'chefetz u'betava, kein yaseh ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, you know, when he's pursuing, you know, the divine agenda, religious agenda, spiritual agenda, right, he should also, you know, be able to muster that same kind of enthusiasm, you know, and exuberance. And then he goes on to say, he starts off in this broader way, v'lo l'hafrish ritzon Hashem yisparach l'ritzono, achlasos shnehem davar echad. So that's already a second level. The first level is there should be parity, you know, between, or there should be, you know, some sort of an equality, you know, between, you know, his attitude, you know, his sense of passion and interest, you know, when he pursues these two agendas. But then he adds, "Ach lasos shneim davar echad," that the goal is even goes transcends that. It's to try to, you know, integrate, you know, his own interests with the interests of the Rabbonu Shalom. Ritzoneinu lomar sheyasa kol devarav al derech sheyu leratzon lifnei Hashem. So this part is I think very consistent with a broader reading of the Mishnah and an ambitious one. We'll see how the other Mefarshim explain this as well. Almost calling for, you know, a person to like abandon his own, you know, personal interests, you know, and to supplant them or to replace them, you know, with Rishon Hashem. There should be like an identity that one should strive for, an identity of Ritzono and Ritzon Hashem. V'amr ba'ovas Rav Nasan v'chein David hu Omer. And here's where it shifts very, because again, till now, Rabbeinu Yonah is speaking about, you know, this in very universal terms, and he's speaking about it, you know, he's speaking about a very, you know, fundamental, you know, philosophical, you know, halachic philosophical question, like, you know, how do you align your own, you know, pursuits and interests with that of the Rabbonu Shalom? Are you allowed to have your own, you know, agenda, and so on and so forth? So the first one is, you know, equal islavos. The second one is coinciding, you know, interests, which is a huge additional aspiration. But then what's so fascinating is that it all, you know, it gets focused on the economic, you know, question. Right? Hakol umiyadcha nasnulach. Nasan eitza tova livnei adam lehit gaber al tivam v'lasof spechefetz ritzon aviem shabbat shemayim kihu nasan hakol upikadon hu biyadam. So it, you know, the whole tone shifts dramatically when he, you know, exemplifies what he means here. Now, again, how much that detracts, you know, from the aspiration of the Resha, you know, I'm not sure. But certainly, it's not, this is not a separate point. This is the, you know, example that he's giving, or, you know, it becomes clear, not just as an example, but this is like the focal point. You know, what he's saying is, look, you people have, you know, their own, just give me one more second, self-interest, certainly economically. That's an area in particular, you know, which human beings, you know, by nature are very proprietary, we'll say. Right? I mean, the whole idea of accumulation, you know, is fundamentally, you know, selfish or self-interested, I'll say, and self-focused and very, you know, personal. But, you know, this principle of Asei Ritzono Kirtzon Cha, you know, which speaks about, you know, mustering the same kind of enthusiasm for the Rabbonu Shalom's agenda, and then at stage two, you know, coinciding them. So the point is that that expresses itself even in this most, you know, self-interested area of life, right? And the way that you're supposed to, therefore, accomplish this this aspiration, you know, is by, you know, recognizing, you know, that, you know, even in this area, or especially in this area, hakol ba meito, that what seems like, you know, personal accumulation or ownership, which again, the halacha, you know, not only recognizes, but, you know, all of Chosha Mishpat is really about a recognition of bailus. Bailus is not, you know, something that we apologize for. Every aspect of, whether it's Nezikin or Kinyanim, you know, Toin Vinitan, everything is about personal ownership and personal rights. Nonetheless, right, Kihu Nasan Hakol, and this is a very important line, Upikadon Hu Biyadam. So, you know, the Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't know if, you know, it's hard to know how early this formulation, you know, stems from. But Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, is one of the earlier formulations of it. This idea that, you know, bailus, that personal ownership, itself is a pikadon, is, you know, a trust for the Rabbanu Shalom. Pikadon ubiyadam. Ubehalos kal isha libo azeh al kalpanim yasa mina pikadon ritzon abaylim shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubezeh lo yidag b'tsiso litztaka. V'yasa ritzono k'ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chefetz ubetovlev. And then Kadesh Yasa Ratzono Kirtzono Hashem Yisbarach Mazbia Lechol Chai Ratzon Benosein Lechem Lechol Basar. So what happened here in Rabbeinu Yonah, in my opinion, is just kind of a sensational development. You know, it starts off, you know, in the broadest terms, consistent with the language of the Mishnah, like as this lofty, you know, principle about, you know, aligning interests, maybe even negating, you know, any kind of personal agenda, etc. And, you know, very rapidly turns into a very specific doctrine about, you know, sharing even in the area of greatest, you know, proprietary, you know, tendency based on this pikadon theory, which in turn, as I say, my opinion, that's kind of the tour probably is the one who made this pikadon idea in tzedakah most famous. And in my opinion, it's very likely that he got it from this particular Rabbeinu Yonah, because as I mentioned, the tour in Kosher Mishpat in general is very influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah. So the tour at the beginning of Hilchos Tzedakah says, he starts off, this is a Reish Mem Zayin, Misase litain tzedakah kefi asagas yado, u'ma'od, ma'od. Part of this is in the Rambam, but part of it is in Torah's own, you know, language. Tzorach adam li'zari bar yosem mikol ha'mitzvos, and so on. Okay, all the midrashim and chazals that he quotes, mostly from the Rambam also. Lili olam ein adam me'ani mitzdaka, v'lo davar ra, v'lo hezek mitgolel yada, shenemar, and so on. V'kol ha'marachim ala aniyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu marachim alav. V'yeshla adam litein el libo shekemoshu mevakish b'chol shal mi'akadosh baruch hu sheyazmin lo parnasaso, which is the, you know, he'll, you know, oser ritzono u'kemoshu mevakish mi'akadosh baruch hu sheyishma shavaso kach tzorech sheyishma shavaso aniyim v'af gamzo sheyakadosh baruch hu korav l'shmo etzakas aniyim, right? L'fikach eshel izor mizakasam v'gam ki bris krusol Hashem, v'hoyo ki yitzak elai v'shamati ki chanun oni, v'gam, this is the key lines, al yitain el libo ki hu galgal hachozer ba'olam, don't, like, you know, begrudge, because this is a, you know, phenomenon, you know, that affects everyone, so in a way it's like an investment, v'sofa adam lavo lidei midazu, v'imlohu yavo bno, ben bno. That's one aspect to explain why tzedakah is really self-interest, basically. It's not being magnanimous. The magnanimity is a function, really, of a greater reality of self-interest. You're really funding, you know, the community coffers, you know, in a way that, you know, is going to benefit you or your descendants. But then he adds, the al yale bilibo eitzalomar eich eksar mimamoni litno laniyim ki yesh lo ladas she'ena mamon shalo. This is something everybody is familiar with, but, like, where did it come from? This is one of the sources that it came from. The money isn't really his. Ela pikadon, this pikadon mashal, lasos bo ritzon hamafkid. And then he adds, v'zeh ritzono. What do you mean v'zeh ritzono? The answer is, again, I think, Mefarshim don't say this, but v'zeh ritzono, this comes from Rabbeinu Yonah. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation of asei ritzono ritzonecha, right? Sheichalik laniyim bimenu v'zehu achelek hatova sheyelo mimenu k'desiv halach lefanecha tzidkecha od ki adavar baduka minuseh kish bishvil atzdaka shenasam layachzar ela adara batosif laosher the od q doches akzeres akashos, and so on and so forth. Meaning the tour basically has several explanations of why it is that giving tzedakah isn't just, you know, or how you should perceive it, not just as being magnanimous, you know, giving of yourself or something that you own, but that either it's like an investment, or, you know, an investment of one type or another. It's an investment in your future, your grandchildren. You know, it's the community revolving fund, or, you know, it's an investment in good health and other things, or, you know, it's not yours to begin with. This pikadon trustee, you know, idea. But that comes along with ki hu ritzono, and I believe, my theory, but I'm pretty sure it's true, that that comes from Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, v'lasos b'chefetz ritzon aviyam shabashamayim, ki hu nasana kol, upikadom biyadam, ubehalos kol ish alibose, yasem in a pikadon ritzon abailim shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ubeze lo yidag b'tziso l'tzedakah. I think the tour is basically seizing on this line of Rabbeinu Yonah. Did you want to ask something, Kiva?
When Rabbeinu Yonah gives the one example of Mamonos, why does Rabbi see that as a shift of the whole piece? Meaning, it's definitely, at the start, he's describing it broad, and then he gives one specific
right,
example.
I'll tell you why. And I'm not 100% sure. Because he never gets back to the if he meant it only as an I'll tell you two things. If he meant it only as an example, then I would expect that he would return to the bigger idea, because I think it is a bigger idea, and he never does. But once he starts speaking about tzedakah, I wouldn't say it's the end of it, but that's what he, you know, zeroes in and focuses on. The Tashbetz, it's also true that the Tashbetz was critical of Rabbeinu Yonah, and this doesn't prove the other point. The other point is what it proves it. But his criticism of Rabbeinu Yonah, in part, is based on the assumption, although he doesn't say it explicitly, that that this is all that Rabbeinu Yonah is really, or primarily what he is focused, what he's focused on. The Tashbetz says, he quotes, he says, the year haperish lefizeh, talking about, he says, Rabbeinu Yonah kasa, and then he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, "V'yia perish lefizeh asay ritzon akel bepizur mamoncha bechepse shamayim kiritzonecha ki ilu pizarto bechepzecha v'masisachein yase ritzonecha kiritzono v'temahu sheyurim mizeshem masisa ritzono shalor ritzonecha yase ritzoncha shalor kiritzono kmida keneged mida hech efshar lomar kein hayadai sheyomer kadesha." Part of the question is also based on the assumption, right, that this is. So the presentation of the Magen Avos is that Rabbeinu Yonah, this is consistent with this. That doesn't mean it's true in Rabbeinu Yonah, but to me, the point in Rabbeinu Yonah is that once he gets there, you know, he never leaves. You know, so that is. But it doesn't matter so much.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter so much, but that's why I think so. And the same is true in. I'm going to have to stop in a minute. But in the same is true in. Like the Tiferes Yisrael, also when I think it's Tiferes Yisrael, on Avos, one second. Also, I think when he quotes, he says, not Tiferes Yisrael, he has a different take a bit. I know, Bar Tanura. Bar Tanura just says, Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha, Pazer Mamoncha. Bechefse shamayim kirtzonecha ki ila pizarta osam bechafotzecha shimasisachein yase ritzon kol kirtzono kasher yiten lechotava b'ayin yafe. So he doesn't quote Rabbeinu Yonah. We know that he saw Rabbeinu Yonah, but all he quotes, you know, is this example. So if it isn't, if Rabbeinu Yonah meant to exemplify it, which is possible, it's still true that he, like, was all in and never came back to the bigger point, which I don't think means he didn't believe in the bigger point, but it shows like a particular focus, like as if like this was a big issue, like he felt he needed to address, and this was the right way to address it. And either way, the Tashbetz and the Bar Tanura understood it that way as well. Yeah.
Could it be that he's shifting in order to help explain the state of the Mishnah? Meaning,
yeah, it could be.
I mean,
what's the ska? The
yeah, how else do you explain?
Could be, Hashem could be. But that back. That just might have convinced her. I mean, the answer is very much, well, could be. But he wasn't forced into that because there are other people who interpret the end of the Mishnah consistent with this, like, broader idea. The other, so that's Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's the Yesod in Tzedakah, this Pikadon idea, you know, really took off after the Tur formulated it. It took off among the, you know, poskim / achronim, like in a very, very big way, especially like in the 16th and 17th century, and, you know, from there. It doesn't appear so much before. I don't know what the earliest is, but this Rabbeinu Yonah, I believe, my theory, is the source, you know, for the Tur, and I think it's a very interesting one. The other example I wanted to give was the Ruach HaChaim. I'm sorry, before I get to that, I said I was going to skip 300 years each time I say that? Yeah. So the Maral. So the Maral, something we already saw in Derech HaChaim, also ends up speaking about the vigor issue. But before he does that, he speaks about, again, something much more specific, but also something that is very much on his mind, reflected in the previous Mishnah and the connection between the two of them, and that is the centrality of being Osek B'Tzarkei Tzibor. So the Reb Chaim Ibelajin says, I'm sorry, no, I'm skipping, the wrong one. The Maral says, sorry, that that is the connection here. Let's reread this. He says, you know, who said the Roshos? So again, I don't know whether, you know, I would have read, you know, these words in the Mishnah and Avos, you know, as being particularly about tzedakah or being particularly about Esek HaTzibur. But again, for Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, that was a pressing, you know, important issue obviously brought to his mind. And for the Maral, Esek B'Tzarkei Tzibur being such a critical, vital, important thing, you know, that's what these words initially mean. Ki kol inyan HaTzibur HaRitzona. V'raya lazeb, interesting, talks about Tefillah B'Tzibur. Ani tefillah silecha Hashem eis ratzon, according to the Gemara in Brachos, Tav Ches Amud Aleph, Eimasai eis ratzon, b'shasha tzibur mispalim. Harei lecham bevur, Hashem yisbarach, ritzono b'tzibur dafka. Uritzono, meaning I say ritzono kiritzonecha. The word ritzono also has a meaning, particularly about tefillah b'tzibur, or the tzibur and tefillah b'tzibur. Uritzono, who kasher mispalalim al tzracheyan, which is also very interesting. I guess we can talk about that tomorrow a little more. Mashitzarech lahem. And he says, v'davar ze inyan amok, ki ein mekatreg l'tzibor, b'mashim tzibor, yeshlem koach klali, kechetu bepratim, I'm skipping, u tfilas hatzibor bebeis hakneses, hu mitzad hatzibor, v'lefikach ushas ratzon. So ritzono has a special meaning connected with Esek B'Tzibur and Tzvila B'Tzibur. V'al kapanim HaTzibur heim dvukim b'rtzono yizbarach kasher yadua. Then he goes on, you know, on the opposite of Rabbeinu Yonah, starts off with the kind of more aspirational, broader message, and then, I wouldn't say gets lost, but then, you know, then turns his, you know, complete focus, you know, to this example, which obviously is very much on his mind. You know, in the case of Maral, the order is the opposite. Like, it begins with, like, people aren't sufficiently sensitive to the importance of, you know, Tzarkei Tzibur, Tefillah B'Tzibur, the role of the Tzibur. But this idea of the Tzibur, you know, exemplifies the capacity to do the impossible, says the Maral, and then he has a very, you know, fundamental aspirational, and that is to merge their own interests, you know, to integrate and even merge their interests with Ritzon Hashem. Something that should be impossible, but that is, you know, the goal, the ultimate goal. So we'll talk about that part, Yirat Hashem, next week. The third one that I wanted to mention before we get back to this bigger theme about, you know, personal Ratzon and Ratzon Hashem, which is the bigger part of the theme that I wanted to talk about, is Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. That's another 300 years, right? Who basically argues, you know, that the initial focus of the Mishnah was about Talmud Torah and about, you know, the relationship between Parnasa and Limud HaTorah. And that Aseh Ritzono Kirtzonecha is a plea for balance in weighing Parnasa and Limud HaTorah. You know, he makes the suggestion that if you do the right balance, then the Ritzono and the Ritzonecha, you know, become one. Meaning, you get schar for the amount of time that you put in, you know, for Parnasa, if the, you know, Parnasa is tafel, you know, to the limud. The contrast being, if you put too much time into Parnasa, then you don't. And if you put no time into Parnasa, you know, so then you lose out too, because, you know, basically whoever it is that supported you, you know, technically, I guess, you know, takes part of your schar. But obviously, the issue isn't just schar. So I want to speak a little bit more about that, because that's interesting. And then go back to this bigger point about personal and divine agendas. Okay.